The trimming will impact everything from personnel levels to health care premiums to contracting to IT and more. Gates told a Pentagon news conference that he wants to avoid repeating what he views as mistakes of the past, deep, unwise cuts, while at the same time doing everything he can to make sure defense dollars are being spent wisely.
Ever since taking this post, now more than 4 years ago, I have called for protecting force structure and for maintaining modest but real growth in the defense top line over the long term. I would prefer that this continue to be the case. But this country's dire fiscal situation and the threat it poses to American influence and credibility around the world will only get worse unless the U.S. government gets its finances in order. And as the biggest part of the discretionary federal budget, the Pentagon cannot presume to exempt itself from the scrutiny and pressure faced by the rest of our government.
He says the scrutiny so far has led to $100 billion over the next 5 years in projected efficiency savings within the individual services. And he says the services will indeed get to keep that money and invest most of it in future needs for warfighters, but not all of it. Gates says a healthy chunk will be eaten up by higher than expected operating expenses.
These costs include health care, pay and housing allowances, sustainment of weapon systems, depot maintenance, base support and flight hours, and other training. Frankly, using these savings in this way was not my original intent or preference. But we have little choice but to deal with these so-called must-pay bills. And better to confront them honestly now than through raiding investment accounts later.
Gates also announced the president's DOD budget proposal for fiscal year 2012. He'll ask Congress for $553 billion, $13 billion less than Gates was hoping for. That equates to 1.5% growth over what congressional appropriations committees approved for this year. But Gates says spending growth will slow down between now and 2015, when the budget plan expects zero real growth. On to the chopping block. The Army will cancel the SLAM-RAM surface-to-air missile system. It also plans to cut 1,000 civilian positions in what it's determined are unneeded task forces and eliminate a pair of installation management commands. The consolidation of email and data centers we've already heard about is expected to save $500 million, and the Army thinks it'll save $1.4 billion by canceling the construction of new facilities. As for the Navy and Marines, DOD is canceling the Marine Corps' Expeditionary Fighting Vehicle and putting the Marines' version of the Joint Strike Fighter on a two-year probation. Also, 6,000 ashore personnel in the Navy will be moved to operational sea duty. One carrier strike group staff will be eliminated, as will the staffs of submarine, patrol aircraft, and destroyer squadrons.
The Navy also proposes to disestablish the headquarters of 2nd Fleet in Norfolk. This change would affect approximately 160 military positions, and no ships will depart Norfolk as a result.
The Air Force will consolidate 4 air operation centers and the staffs of 3 numbered air forces. They also plan to save $500 million by improving fuel economy, plus reduce the cost of communications infrastructure by 25%. We've certainly heard before from the Secretary about excessive health care costs in the military. Gates said in his August briefing on the efficiency initiatives that health care was eating DOD alive. Nothing's changed about that, but he's now proposing higher fees indexed to inflation for working-age retirees on TRICARE.
Many of these beneficiaries are employed full-time while receiving their full pensions and often forego their employer's health plan to remain with TRICARE. This should not come as a surprise, given that the current TRICARE enrollment fee was set in 1995 at $460 a year for the basic family plan and has not been raised since. During this time, insurance premiums paid by the private sector and other government workers have risen dramatically. For example, the fees for a comparable health insurance program for federal workers cost roughly $5,000 a year.
Gates thinks the new fees, combined with other cost containment programs, would save $7 billion over the next 5 years. That's part of a separate $54 billion pot of savings Gates says they found on a DOD-wide basis. Another is IT consolidation.
At this time, all of our bases and headquarters have their own separate IT infrastructure and processes, which drive up costs and create cyber vulnerabilities.
The data center consolidation plan that DOD has drawn up so far would save about $1 billion a year out of a $37 billion annual IT budget.
At the same time, I'm not satisfied with the progress we've made in this area since August and expect to make a follow-on announcement with a specific plan of action by next month.
Gates says DOD is also well on its way to reducing its reliance on staff support contractors. As examples, 250 positions eliminated in the Office of the Secretary, 780 in TRICARE, 360 in the Missile Defense Agency. By the time the cuts are finished, they'll amount to $6 billion in savings. The secretary has also signed off on the elimination of a lot of brass. He wants to cut 100 of the 900 general and flag officers in the department and eliminate or downgrade 200 senior executive service jobs.
The monetary savings from these reductions in senior personnel will be relatively modest and mostly consist of the extra staff and amenities that by tradition follow high rank. The primary purpose behind this shift is to create fewer, flatter, more agile, and thus more effective organizations.
Finally, DOD will try to dig its way out of some paperwork. Gates is getting rid of 400 internal reports that he says have questionable value and that no one reads. In fact, any report commissioned before 2006 is getting canceled unless it's mandated by Congress.
For all of these DOD-wide initiatives, a major objective beyond creating monetary savings is to make this department less cumbersome, less top-heavy, and more agile and effective in the execution of its responsibilities. My hope and expectation is that as a result of these changes over time, what had been a culture of endless money, where cost was rarely a consideration, will become a culture of savings and restraint.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.